Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up.
Foolishness and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Growing up, some of the best memories I have are of being in the kitchen. Food was and is a staple of life, family, togetherness, and sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
We love food here at the Queer Magnolias podcast, as well as other consumables.
Yes.
So today, we are in the kitchen with the Queer Magnolias podcast.
Hey,
y'all.
Dust off your muffins.
Watch it now.
And join us for dinner. Or do you call it supper? Which one?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, you know what they say. Crop top, muffin top, won't stop.
Once again, damn, I feel called out and seen.
I see you, boo.
I don't know how much you eat.
A popover, honey.
Martha White.
That was my grandmother.
See? When I was a kid, my mom used to call my brother and me home each night, and she would have us come home for supper. So it was always supper in our house. But on Sundays, we didn't have supper on Sundays. We had Sunday dinner.
Right. So I think that's the big distinction. I think supper is if it's just folks, and dinner is when you have the family or you're entertaining.
Yeah. Yes.
But just wasn't folks. Sunday dinner, wasn't that around noontime?
No. With us, it was usually in the afternoon, 3-4 o'clock. So it was kind of sort of in between. Okay. Somewhere in there.
So. I remember once discussing with my grandma this very topic, like supper versus dinner. And she was like, no, it's supper. I was like, well, really? Well, then why in movies do people have dinner parties? And her answer was, because they're Yankees.
I love it.
Damn Yankees.
It's funny. We had supper, but Mama often referred to it as dinner. So, but I think she was just either way. She called lunch dinner as well. She rarely ever said we were going to lunch. We were going to dinner, whether it was lunchtime or 5 p.m.
It was a one-stop meal.
It was a one-stop meal. That's right.
Well, my mom still to this day calls it dinner for lunch. Lunch is dinner to her, and it's still supper. And I actually did a little digging on this to kind of see how that all started.
Isn't it supper?
Supper. It's supper. Dinner and supper.
Sunday supper.
My mother is much like you, Danny, in that every word ends in an A.
One way or another.
It's a dollar. $5.
Give me $5.
Another.
Right.
But I did, like I said, I did a little digging on this to kind of sort of figure out where this all started. And I guess supper is supposed to mean like a lighter meal. And that back in the early times, I guess a lot of people, would work in the fields. There were a lot of farmers and stuff. So they would have their heavier meal in the middle of the day. So they get the calories and the intake to keep them going through the rest of the day. And then they'd have a lighter meal at night. So dinner was actually lunchtime.
Was the bigger meal.
Right, exactly.
And that means I get a siesta if I have a big dinner for lunch.
Damn right. It's kind of like why I'm working from home.
Sorry. Now, you don't want to admit all that, do you?
Maybe not.
Oh, it's funny because for us growing up, my dad traveled. And so Mom and I always mainly had a light supper, usually an easier meal Monday through Thursday, and then Daddy would come home on Friday. And in the summers, it was always a steak on the grill with charcoal, which means anticipation goes longer and longer and longer.
You know, you got to wait for them to heat up.
Right. You got to wait for the charcoal to heat up, and then you got to do the steak. And it's like, oh my goodness, it could be forever. I was waiting non-patiently.
And to this day, I'm sure, like, if you smell a charcoal grill, like, it triggers those memories.
Totally.
Because, every time.
Yeah. And what's so sick about that for me growing up is, like, if it's not lighter fluid, it doesn't give me that memory. Because, you know, back then, honey, it was douse shit in lighter fluid. Yes, yes.
And then, God forbid, that shit don't take. You got to pour it again.
That's right.
Stand back, honey.
So what you're saying is instead of poppers, you use lighter fluid.
I might be saying that.
Well, that's why there's some Kingston next to the bed.
He keeps a butane right by the pillow. That's funny.
You think you're clever, don't you?
You're funny.
So your point about the midday meal being the heaviest, like, I think that really explains the ever importance of lunch buffets in the South. Because buffets are such a huge thing. They were such a huge thing for my family. It's like, we're going to a buffet. Because it was all about all you can eat.
Right?
Precisely.
And they took it literally.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
You said all I could eat. I'm going to eat it all.
I'm going to take some home, too, in a bag.
Oh, it was like skip breakfast because you know you're going to the lunch buffet.
And after the third plate, I'm thinking, oh, my, they're going home now. No, they're going back for dessert.
That's right.
I'm like, holy
And this
cow.
Is the first round of dessert.
Because you got to taste a little bit of all of it.
Well, you do need to make sure it's not spoiled.
But, yeah. But you got to put a little fruit on there because it's healthy.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That salad is drenched in ranch dressing and bacon bits, honey.
Swimming.
Thousand Island.
Ain't no island left. It's underwater.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny because where alcohol seems to be in most of my meals, in the South, it was all these buffets and none of them had alcohol.
No.
So it was just, it was all you could eat and sweet tea. And the kind of sweet tea that makes my teeth hurt because there's so much sugar in it. And it's like,
lemon.
No, never with lemon in my house.
Lemon.
Never with
always
lemon in
lemon.
Our house.
Oh.
But sugar, honey, like 2 cups.
Yeah, here's your sweet tea and your thing of sugar.
And some insulin.
Right.
So in the summer times as a kid, I used to work in the tobacco fields, like when I was 12, 13, 14 years old.
We know, you've told us.
I know. I hated doing all that shit because I had to get up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And who wants to do that at that age, right? But my favorite part of it was coming in for dinner because the house just smelled heavenly when you walk through the door, right? And she had been cooking since about 8, 9 o'clock that morning. And so you walk in and it smells wonderful. And there's this big ass, like, load of food on the table that you just kind of dive into. And it's supposed to carry, the whole idea of it carrying you through the afternoon, it seems true to me because it's worked. We'd come out of dinner and we're like, let's eat it. Let's do it. And we would work for another 4 or 5 hours.
So what time did you eat dinner if you got up at 5?
Noon.
And if she was starting cooking at 9, how much was she cooking?
Well, she had a lot of people that she was cooking for because it was all the workers.
Was it the probably farmer's wife?
Farmer's the farmer's wife. Oh. Oh, sorry, farmer's wife.
Yeah, oh, I was thinking
we
it was
didn't
your
get
mother.
Any of that. Yeah.
No, not my mama. My mama ain't doing that shit. No.
I was like, wait, who?
Right. We didn't get any of that on the farm I worked on. They took you home, and I got a half hour for lunch. And I did the best I could.
JV to the Bojangles drive-thru.
Oh, I'm old enough there wasn't any of those. And I grew up out in the country, so we didn't have any fast food restaurants.
Oh, so you had to go home.
Yeah, we went to lunch earlier, or dinner, or whatever you want to call it, earlier than you did. We started at 6 in the morning. And usually, I had a break for lunch at 11. And then sometimes we'd work until 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but by the by 2 o'clock, it's so damn hot.
Well, that's what,
like,
I was going to say.
Excruciating.
Yeah, like, how
that's
could
why
you
started early.
Yeah.
Well, see, we do the fields in the morning. We pick or prime the tobacco, whatever the term is, right? And then in the afternoon, we're doing it at the barn where we're sewing it up and taking it into
Oh, because I'm sure that's air conditioned.
Well, it's at least shaded.
Under the overhang. Yeah. Oh, so that's so funny because with us, we did it in tandem. The girls did the tying off and the boys did the priming, and then in the afternoon.
I bet they did.
Right. It was a couple I could have primed. But in the afternoon, there was one or two guys that did the hanging in the tobacco barns. They were hung.
The
tobacco.
Scramble up there.
Uh-huh. Get me to do that. Fuck that. No. I fall and break a leg. Not going to happen.
Your tiara might fall off, dear.
That's why I was
just
never.
Slid right down the side of her head.
The funny thing is, like, I know that all of, like, my grandparents' children, they all did it. They all put in tobacco. My grandparents did not try that with me. They just knew that it was not going to work.
You and those slingbacks were not going to work in that tobacco barn.
They just didn't even ask.
That's why I drove the tractor for 2 years.
They didn't even ask me to do that. Probably because, you
That's
know.
Fun, though. I like driving the tractor.
Well, driving the tractor's fun, and every time I see an 18-wheeler that can't make a turnaround, I'm like, do you want me to do it Come for you? Hey, Dad.
Long-haul truck.
You want me to drive your truck for you, sugar?
Oh, Lord. Child.
All these hidden talents of yours, Dan. Who knew?
Well, you know. Coming out slowly, but surely.
Surely.
So what do you guys call it now? Because I know for me, I at some point I made some kind of unconscious choice to change it from dinner to lunch. And it was probably when I got to California and everybody looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it wasn't unconscious either. It was very definitely conscious decision.
Yeah, it's certainly lunch now. Unless I'm talking to y'all.
I never go to dinner in the middle of the day. I always go to lunch.
Yeah. No. I'm like if we're going to plan something and we're like, let's do Sunday supper, you know?
I would probably say dinner.
For something like that, yes. For kitsch and kicks, yes. Yeah. But on a daily basis, it's lunch and dinner for me now. Yeah.
I didn't hear about supper until I went to the East Coast. Otherwise, it was always breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then supper was like, oh, there's another meal?
Well, I do think also in really old times, like in 1700s, 1800s, there was a supper, but it was like 9 or 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's
and
when
it was
I
very small. Late, yeah. You know, it was just something, to keep the party going. Mm-hmm.
You know, I sober like that
up,
idea.
You know, straighten the ship up just a little bit to have another cocktail. Mm-hmm.
That's how my grandparents
So it's us after happy hour.
Yes, precisely.
Fill into a place.
Taco Bell.
Yeah. Right.
Drive-through.
I was thinking more like Lala's.
They call that
he didn't want to be called out. he drives in the drive-through of Taco Bell, and they're like, oh, Rick's back. Get his order ready.
We done told you. We don't have that. Stop coming here.
We don't make that anymore.
We do not have margaritas in the drive-through at Taco Bell.
No more chupalupas. Chupalupas. I don't know. What the fuck were they called? I think that was it, right?
That is what they're called from now on forever.
Chupalupas, yeah.
Chupalupa. That's not what we call them, Rick. They're called tacos. Wrapped in soft shell.
So I have a Taco Bell story. I know this is not anything to do with dinner and supper.
Yeah, well,
I've had plenty of dinner and supper from Taco Bell.
So this happened to my friend Monica once. She was going through the drive-thru late at night, because that's the time that you go through the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Of course.
And she's like, I'll have a number 4, or whatever it was. And the guy came over the loudspeaker and he says, weep jeebs, or weep out jeebs. And she said, what? I'm sorry. And he said, weep jeebs or about jeebs? And she's like, you know, I'm just going to pull up to the window. So she pulls up and he leans out the window with a piece of cheese in his hand. Weep jeebs. And he puts it behind his back. Or about jeebs.
I thought he was saying chips. She was smart to drive out to the window. Who goes to Taco? Well, I'm going to ask this rhetorically, but who goes to Taco Bell that doesn't want cheese?
I was about to say the same damn thing.
I have never been asked that question, but here we go.
I probably know which one she went to, because I do have one coworker that doesn't eat cheese ever, and he goes to Taco Bell like once a week, and I'm like, well, what do you get? It's always got to have that ratty ass cheese on it.
Exactly.
Sorry, Taco Bell.
And it's not even ground beef. It's like
ground mystery meat.
Yeah, it's a soy product.
It's a byproduct of something. I don't know quite.
With meat flavor. Yeah.
It is delicious, is what it is.
When you're hammered at midnight, it's great.
Oh, my goodness.
John, I can't even tell you how many times I sat on the couch at 2 in the morning going through 18 fucking crunchy tacos. Let's go.
There's a comedian who I cannot remember his name now, but he goes on and on about going to Yak in the Box. And one morning, I was in Jack in the Box waiting. Is it George Lopez waiting for to order? And I get up there, and she says, "Welcome to Yak in the Box." I nearly wet myself and laughed and laughed. And she's like, "What's so funny?" I'm like, "Nothing, nothing."
He does a bit that's kind of the same where you want a cheese.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes people are like, "Oh, don't make fun of somebody's accent." I'm like, I have lived a long time with people making fun of my accent. You're damn right I'm going to make fun of somebody else.
You make a solid damn point. Exactly. People automatically deduct 100 points from your IQ when you speak with a Southern accent. They just do.
And when they do that, I let them. Mm-hmm. And then I bury them because I'm like, you know what? I sincerely doubt you're going to get ahead of me in the long run.
So how many points do you think they deduct and or add when you have a gay accent?
The same, probably.
That's a great question. They probably do deduct, but then they add a little more because you bring a little more flair to it.
A little quicker.
I don't know, maybe.
Clever.
For some of those people.
Stop pointing at me, bitch.
Those people. who
subtracts 100 points for Southern accents. You know, when the lights are turned way down low, the Southern accent gets added 150 points. So I'm never worried about mine.
See, there you go, honey.
You got to get in where you can fit in. Isn't that right, George?
Yes, ma'am. You run with it, honey.
I don't understand that, though. Can you explain that a little more for me? What does that mean?
Oh, what it means is a lot of people find a Southern accent to be extremely sexy. They may not think you're the smartest bulb in the box, but they want a piece of ass because they love you.
Hello,
accent.
Blanche Devereaux. Hello. I don't care how fake your accent is. Right. So what about fried chicken? Are y'all Popeyes or are you KFC? Or are you somebody else?
I'm somebody else.
Who are you?
Well, we're fortunate. Right now we're in the hot chicken market.
And we are, yes.
So Banging Buns and Cluckin' Chicken and Al's and Dave's and Clyde's in Fullerton is so far my
But is that
one.
Fried chicken?
It is fried chicken.
Okay.
It's like breast strips, breaded and fried.
Okay.
And then with spices, and then they give you a hot sauce on the side. And it's
not, and spices. It's like the sun that they melted onto this chicken.
or the flames of hell. Depends on which level you get.
That's either light meat or dark meat. Right.
Right. But, you know, a sad thing is I used to like Popeyes, but there's one here in the Valley that is so horrible. And it would be a place to go through the drive-through after bar hopping. And I've just been so turned off about it. And KFC will clean out the worst clog on in the drain.
That's exactly what I was going to say is I used to like prefer KFC, but like Danny, it got to the point where it was like, okay, yeah. So I just had KFC 20 minutes ago. Here we go.
That's like the Chipotle syndrome, honey. Right.
Well, and a crazy thing is there's a KFC not far from where I live. And they have like a bucket of 24 dark for $32.99. I'm like,
wow,
that's expensive. Why don't you go one block down at Ralph's and get 18 chickens for $5?
And Ralph's fried chicken is delicious.
It is.
Well, you've brought some in the past at some of our records.
Oh, yes.
It's a good go-to.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, I'm going to want some chicken.
Now we're talking about fried chicken.
Well, right. Somehow we moved into food.
Well.
And it's the one thing I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Fried chicken is the one thing I simply cannot do. I have tried and burned, and I'm just not good at it. Other people are great at it. I'm not good at it, but I'm really great at eating it.
So I also have a Popeye's chicken story.
Okay. Tell it.
So this is my friend David, who used to be a flight attendant. And he was at some layover, I don't know exactly where, maybe Atlanta, I don't know. And he and his friend decided to go get Popeye's chicken. And so they're in line, and this large woman was in front of them, and she gets up to the counter, and there was another large woman working the counter. So the woman who's ordering says, "I'll have a number 3. The woman behind the counter says, "Do you want the meal or do you want the bucket?" And the woman and the customer says, "Do I look like I could eat a whole bucket of chicken?" And the other woman goes, "Bitch, I don't know your life."
Uh-huh. And she could throw a stone because it's like, exactly. I can eat a bucket, can exactly. you?
I mean.
I heard them ham hocks rubbing together when you came up to the counter. I think you can eat a bucket.
How are you going to keep your thighs warm? Friction.
I can smell that as you walked up. Come on now. That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Bitch, I don't know your life. Oh, it's hysterical.
It's one of my favorite stories ever.
I used to have that issue working at the pizza place. I know. Oh, do you want the slice? You want the whole right. pie? Do you think I can eat a whole pie? And some people, I just had to just bite my tongue. Right. Like, you probably eat two pies. Right.
Right. I mean, depending on how drunk I am, I can put some damage on a pizza pie. Right.
And that's so talking about supper and lunch and dinner and stuff, a pie. I never heard pizza called a pie until like the last 10 years. I'm sure it's someplace in the world it's been called that forever, but I've never heard that. And is it because it has slices or something?
I think I heard it in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you slice it like a pie.
Well, you do. You do.
Yeah.
I guess you also slice it like a cake, unless the cake's square.
Precisely.
Well, it's also, you know, pizza slice culture. Like, do you sell it by the slice? I mean, a lot of places, and I'm sure in the past, you got the whole pizza.
Yeah.
You never got a slice, but you go to the city, go to New York City, maybe Chicago.
You go to big cities.
New York and Chicago is by the slice, yeah. So.
And then you have slice culture.
Slice I've always heard, just never pie until recently.
Well, pizza's not a huge thing in the South, or it wasn't when I was growing up.
In a box.
Pizza Hut. It was Pizza Hut or Pizza Inn.
Yeah.
Right.
And you got the whole thing.
You got the whole darn thing.
And that was just a pizza.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the idea of pizza by a slice was, I don't think I ever saw that ever until like maybe New Orleans.
Yeah. Precisely. Larger cities.
Yeah, city stuff.
I think it was New York is when I saw it. And then, Chicago. Actually, it would be Chicago. I was in Chicago before I went to New York.
And they do deep dish.
Yep.
They're known for their deep
dish. Oh, with that weird where they put the cheese on the bottom and the sauce on top.
And then it looks like a slice of pie.
Yeah, it's as thick as a slice of pie.
That's true.
It's 3 inches thick.
Yeah. So.
6 inches of bread and 1 inch of all the rest of the stuff.
6 inches, honey.
I mean,
well, that's a party. I don't care whether it's a bottom or a top slice. Bring it on.
Bring it.
Right?
Should we talk about some chicken and dumplings?
Oh, here we go. He wants to resurrect this fight that Dan and I had earlier this very day.
Well, since we're doing the versus topic, we might as well go down the same path.
I'm on the side of the story that it's called chicken pastry.
It could be called that. That's not right. It's chicken and pastry.
There is no "and" in
it. It's like chicken and dumplings is chicken and pastry. Pastry is a flat dumpling, basically, and chicken, and they're done separately, and then they're put together.
If you can see the hair standing up on the back of Danny's head right now. And Jake, just so we'll set it up for everybody, this was a good, solid, like almost bar brawl between the two of them.
It isn't. It doesn't have any celery in it.
Dan also says chicken and salad and pimento and cheese, apparently.
George is on crack. So you call it chicken pastry, everybody will understand what it is, but it's chicken and
dumplings.
It's like chicken and dumplings.
But
it's
dumplings are not pastry. So don't you get in this fight, Rick. Stay in your corner, bitch.
Ding, ding. You ready to go again, George?
I'm not entering into this fight. No, ma'am.
We did agree on one thing. It's stew beef and not beef stew.
All day. It's stew beef.
George pointed out that your mama didn't make it. Neither did his. His grandmother made it just like my grandmother made it. So he didn't win that argument either.
The household that I was raised in made it from scratch. So slow your roll.
Big Mama made hers from scratch.
Bitch, I don't know your life.
Then George brings up these websites where you can get the pastry online. Uh-huh. I don't want the pastry online. Uh-huh. Get in the kitchen, Heffa, and make us some, and then you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Challenge accepted. Jacob, order some chicken pastry online.
Except we're in LA, you can have to order chicken and pastry.
And pastry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what about when you go down to the K&W? What are they called there?
So it's not on their menu because I looked it up earlier.
What?
But it's up on the board. It always says chicken and pastry.
I don't. Not in Wilson.
What? Honey and Wilson, they can't spell.
See, they can't.
Oh, hell, I see. Oh, Co City. Spelling be capital of the South.
They can't pick a side either. That's why they took it off the menu.
Exactly. Too many fights.
Too many fights.
What's Cracker Barrel call it?
I don't eat at Cracker Barrel because they don't like gay people. This year, all of a sudden, they have these rainbow rocking chairs.
Everybody's into Pride this year.
Everybody's trying to make their money.
We could do an episode on that.
We should talk about Cracker Barrel.
We should talk about businesses that are honest with mm-hmm. supporting gays and businesses that just like to use gays. I'm up for that one.
Because you can't say that businesses can't change their policy, because they can. No,
of course they can.
Well, that's the goal, right?
That's the goal for them, too.
I think it's more important, though, about businesses that support the gay community all year round.
Yes, yeah, when it's
just Pride Month.
Right. Absolutely. And also, I'd like you guys who are listening to weigh in on that. If you know a company that is really, really supportive of gays, let us know. And if you know a company, and there are plenty out there, who only talk the talk in June, let us know that as well.
And also, I'd really like to know if you call it chicken pastry, which is the correct way to call it, or chicken and pastry, because you need to throw another word in there.
Well, I'll just talk about supper and dinner and chicken and pastry and shit's made me thirsty.
Jeeves?
With Jeeves, yes.
Yeah. It's cool.
Y'all join us on the front porch for some Jeeves in just a minute.
Jeeves and crackers.
Yes, for drinks and ice.
There you go. I wish y'all could see me getting George the bird. See you in a minute.
See you in a minute.
Hi, welcome to the front porch, y'all.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Danny.
Yeah.
What is this lovely concoction you placed in front of us?
It's Goldilocks.
Oh, because it's blonde like me.
Yes. This week.
Well, where are the three bears?
One, two, three. I see them.
I'm not a bear.
Rawr.
Cheers.
Rawr.
I'm a pirate. Arg. Not a bear.
I don't have the hair for it.
She's not a bear. She's a Sasquatch.
I bet you, girl. I'm a friend of Nair.
Something about Nary.
That's right. Oh, this is quite good, though.
This is good, Dan.
It's grapefruit juice, reposado tequila, cream of coconut, and lime juice.
You had me at tequila, but...
But she kept going. She put the lime and the coconut on it. It is delicious. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very refreshing.
Like it. Thank
it's got
you.
A little kick.
It does, and it's a nice summer drink. It's something that's bright, and it's not too heavy.
It's right bright.
Yeah. It's right bright, and they go down right easy-like.
Uh-huh. And not red for a change.
And they're not red or pink. Jake and I were discussing how difficult it is when we create these drinks. So often they're all pink, and it's like, pink is one of my favorite colors, but occasionally you want a drink,
color.
Right? You want a drink with a different color that's not so blush or bashful.
It doesn't always have cranberry juice.
Precisely. A red ruby grapefruit. This one uses yellow grapefruit or white grapefruit.
Yeller?
Yeller.
It's yellow.
It's yeller.
So what are we talking about today, Jake?
Well, let's reach in the old honey pot here.
Get in there.
That's how you know I'm reaching you.
It's two. Or making popcorn. One of the two.
That's how you know it's a
lottery.
Sure. Real. Real time.
Right?
Oh, restaurants.
Oh, imagine that. Oh,
fanciest, dirtiest, most surprising, childhood favorite. That's the topic.
Oh,
child. Right. Well, I'll go with childhood favorite, the one we used to go to all the time. Come on now, yeah. Sizzler.
Yes.
It was all about Sizzler.
Wait, is it Sizzler or Sizzlin? Because in North Carolina, there's Western Sizzlin.
Western Sizzlin.
Yeah. We would just... you might have a point. Actually, I don't know. I have to look.
So Western Sizzlin was a little more red inside than Sizzler.
Which is green. It was more green, right? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
So different. Here's the thing. For the longest time, I just thought it was because we were Southern, and that's how we were saying Western Sizzler. Until I actually realize it's a completely separate chain, Sizzlin.
It is.
And they flame broil their steaks on both sides. That's their whole thing.
Which one? Sizzler or Sizzlin?
Oh, okay. They don't just put it on top of a grill. They actually have fire on top and bottom. That's their big thing. I read this on Wikipedia. Thank you.
All right. Honey, I'm old enough to have gone to Bonanza. Hello. Little Joe, where are you? The unfortunate thing is I got saddled with Haas.
Well,
which might not have been a bad
thing. He was
thing.
A gentle lover.
I went to pull his hair and there wasn't any.
See.
All right, so I just looked up the sign for okay. Western Sizzlin', and that is the sign I remember from my childhood.
Oh, yeah,
so
with the skinny
right,
cow.
It's Western Sizzlin'.
With the skinny cow.
With the skinny cow. I don't know what that was
about. Well, they needed it to fit on the billboard.
The one in Wilson had, it was those giant big like lava rocks or whatever, those big rock walls. You know what I'm talking about? From like, I feel like so many restaurants in the 70s.
River Rock.
They weren't little, they were big.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah, I remember it. I know
so many 70s restaurants had that.
Rock was very important.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, in North Carolina, there was lots of rock. There were rock quarries everywhere.
Granite quarries.
Mm-hmm. Granite, she says.
Well, my hometown of Mount Airy, North Carolina, is the granite capital of the world.
It could be, but you didn't have none. Yeah. You had a slab patio like the rest of us.
Slab patio.
Look, his scissors completely different. That's a total, totally different.
Oh my gosh, look, Jake has caught up with us. Oh, chicken and pastry.
Yeah, exactly.
They did not have any.
I just waited for
they do not.
Y'all to shut up if I can say something.
Let's not start that shit again.
So, do you guys know about meet and threes?
I feel like I've heard
as an idea for a restaurant. See, I don't know that that's a thing in North Carolina, but I know it's definitely a thing in like Georgia and like maybe further south. But it sounds to me like what I've read about them and kind of done a little research is they sound like any cafeteria restaurant where you go and you get your meat and then you pick out your sides. And you don't have to get three. You can get however many you want, but they call it a meat and three.
Hmm. It's sort of like we did in school. You know, you had a little tray that was divided into sections.
Yeah.
So you got a meat and... Huh, that's cool. That's novel.
Three pieces of slop.
But I think the restaurant that you have not so far from you, Tender Greens, does that, don't they?
They do.
Oh, yeah.
It's meat and three is there.
Is it three?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, look at that. Tender Greens bringing meat and three to the West Coast, honey.
Right in there to WeHo, baby. Amongst other places. It's a very popular restaurant.
The other one, Grain Traders, is the same thing.
Oh, Grain Traders does do that. Yeah. Mm.
See, you woke up and thought you thought that was Georgia, and it turns out it's just Los Angeles.
Well, y'all didn't know what I was talking about, so.
We were like meeting how many?
That's right.
I thought it was the name of a restaurant, and I'm like, what?
Never heard of that. No, what's that? I think the grossest, dirtiest, hands-down filthiest restaurant I have ever been to was in New Orleans. Surprise, surprise.
Mm.
And it was on... I want to say it was on St. Charles, because you take the streetcar there. And it was the first floor of this flea bag hotel called the Hummingbird. So it was the Hummingbird Cafe. And it was open for 24 hours a day.
Mm.
Why are y'all shaking your head?
Oh, I think Rick was trying to remember the Bluebird Cafe.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So was I in Nashville, which is not that. But I've heard of the Hummingbird Cafe, and it's legendary.
It is legendary. Because it was one of those things that, like... You had to go. It was like rite of passage. You have to go to the Hummingbird at least once, and you sit in the booths, and you stick to the booths, and everything is incredibly cheap, but it's so filthy. It is the filthiest restaurant I have ever. And of course, you know, you're there like, well, I'm going to eat, and so you order. I'll have grits or whatever you're going to have, and you eat it.
They
and
go into a big
see the pot that the grits come out of. It looks like it hasn't been washed in like 70 years. Like I don't even know.
Seasoned.
Yes, honey. Yes, and I can say all this because they don't exist anymore. Of course, now the entire building's been turned into like super fancy condos or whatever.
Right, apartments for $4,000 a month for a studio.
100%. But the Hummingbird was an absolute rite of passage, epic experience that was so filthy and so dirty. But I do have to say this. Every time I went, and I've been more than once, regardless how dirty it was.
Didn't matter how nasty it was.
Didn't matter. Because people would want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go. But I never got sick there. I never got sick from the food.
Hmm. I find some restaurants that are really just dirty. Their food is prepared.
Waffle House.
Oh, Lord God. Mama used to, every year for Christmas, I would stay with my mom on Christmas Eve, and my dad, I'd get to Christmas at lunch. So Mama always wanted to go to the Waffle House on Christmas morning because it was the only damn place
open. Yeah, it was open.
So she didn't have to cook, honey.
Nasty. Nasty.
But the awful waffle.
Right? So Western Sizzlin' brings up sort of one of those, oh my Lord, stories. So my mom was so... OCD, ACH, I don't know, ACDC about cleanliness, whatever that
except
thing.
She ignored Waffle House's filthiness.
Precisely. So she would turn her head at what
she didn't want to see.
She didn't want to see. But we did go off into the Western Sizzlin' in Goldsboro during my trips home. And during the summer in North Carolina, it rains quite a bit, and we get roaches / water bugs. And we were eating lunch in Western Sizzlin', and one fell off the ceiling.
I'm cringing already. Nope.
And I just took my rain jacket and put right over it because I knew if she saw it, she would have turned a table over. It would have been, I mean, she would have made them scrub the kitchen in front of her. And I was, because I knew if I said anything, we would never go there again. And it was mostly clean there when we went. I'd never seen that before, but I was like, oh Lord, please don't let her see that. And fortunately, she was on a tear, and she could only concentrate on her words.
Dan does that sometimes.
Well, I'm trying to say, hon, the apple does not fall far from the tree.
She has about a tear or two.
Well, speaking of bugs, there is a place in West Hollywood, and I'm not going to call it out by name because it is close by. I went to dinner and sat down to have dinner with a friend, and I looked up on the wall where we were sitting and counted within the course of our dinner probably 7 or 8 big ass cockroaches, probably the size of my hand, crawling around. I was like, you know what? And I haven't been there since.
I wouldn't. I honestly.
Are they still open?
They are.
I'm very curious as to what they are. Mouth it to me.
Just spell it out. Nobody knows. Go ahead.
That sounds so dirty.
I'll tell you, but I'm editing it out.
I am not surprised by that at all. Yeah. Honestly.
And we've been there a handful of times. Yeah. We've all been together. But I haven't been back.
Well, because, you know, they're open to the outside, too.
Yeah. Also, and it was in that outside front area, too. But I just, after that, I haven't been back.
But everything about that place, like, I want to love it so much, but it's just, I don't.
Oh, my goodness. Well, do you have a favorite restaurant?
I do. And you actually mentioned it earlier. I think the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville was probably the most special of places I've been. We were out there filming something for work with, I'm going to name drop, sorry, Maisie Stella, and her parents were performing that night at the Bluebird Cafe. And Maisie Stella, you'll know from the TV show Nashville.
Connie Britton was on that.
She was until she died. She got killed off.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I knew she was on it.
She got killed.
Hayden Panettiere as well.
Yes.
Maisie's parents were performing at the Bluebird that night, and they invited us to come and attend, and we actually got to sit right up front with them.
And it's a, sorry to interrupt, but it's a very difficult place to get in any day of the week.
It is almost impossible. So for me, that will always be a very special night in a very special place, because I know I was very lucky to have gotten those seats and to get into that place. Because like Danny said, it's impossible on any given occasion to get tickets.
I know I have been to so many wonderful restaurants. Some of them I remember. Lots of them were a blur, but I'm sure they were really, really good.
They were a blur on leaving. Yeah, I've had those nights.
Oh, honey, like, some of them were a blur on the way in. I did have recently, I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I had one of the best pork chops I've ever had in a restaurant. It was beyond ridiculously delicious, and it was at a place called Crawford's. And I was walking the streets. I mean, I was walking down the street, taking photographs.
You said it right the first time. Uh-huh.
Taking photographs, and I passed by this place, and something called out to me. So I turned around, and I said, well, I'll go in, and I'll have a drink.
They got time.
Hey, big girl, they got drinks in there. Y'all don't pass them up. So I went, and I sat at the bar. Surprisingly, I am single, so you got to single and mingle.
I love sitting at the bar.
Me too.
I love sitting
at the
bar.
It is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So they, one of the things they did was they had a cedar plank and they had a blowtorch. And they would light the sort of blowtorch the cedar plank and turn a glass upside down. And they did smoky old fashions. Mm. And I'm telling you, they were wonderful. I finished the Blantons. It was so good. All of it. But they did bring a pork chop that it was amazing. I love pork. And I love it when it's done right, and I hate it when it's not done right. So this one was so magnificence. Magnificence.
It was magnificence. It was the magnificence obsession.
That's probably what I said sitting there. It was magnificence.
Have some more porridge, Goldilocks.
Tastes just right.
How about you, Jacob?
Favorite restaurant? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had a real favorite one. We do go to Taylor's Steakhouse a lot, and we have all been there.
Oh, yes. I love Taylor's.
Love Taylor's.
Two locations, but the one in Koreatown is our favorite.
Oh, I didn't know they had a second one.
La Cañada.
And that's the one we usually try to eat at the bar whenever possible because it's just really kind of cool to... It's a cool experience.
Yeah.
Taylor's is old school steakhouse since 1953, I think it is, or 47, somewhere along in there.
Yeah, you know if they've got red leather boots, that's the place to be.
Precisely. Yeah. And there's more than one floor there. It's so funny because I've actually eaten upstairs one year for Christmas Eve dinner. We Chuck and I went there. And we sat upstairs, and the upstairs is enormous. So it's so funny because when you go in, if you've never been upstairs, it looks like, oh, this is cute.
Small,
well,
cute.
Upstairs is enormous. It's like, holy cow.
That's like Clifton's. Yeah. The upstairs at Clifton. Well, I'm sure it's totally different now because now it's all fancy, hipster, whatever.
Oh, stop.
Like Clifton's has three floors.
Yeah,
third floor is like...
they got that goddamn tree now that goes up
that redwood.
Yeah, goes up three? It goes to all three floors, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's one level that's all custom cocktails, craft cocktails, which was fine. But the night that I went, the bartenders didn't really know what the hell they were doing, and I was like, "Well, you should be working behind the bar if you don't know how to make a craft cocktail.
Give me your apron.
Get out of the way."
It's like if chips and salsa don't come on the table at a Mexican.
If
you're at a craft cocktail restaurant/slash bar and you don't know how to make a craft,
you got to get your phone out to get the recipe.
Go home and stay there.
Stay there. And they still have the cafeteria downstairs,
right? They do. Yeah.
And is it different?
It's set up different. It's like islands or something, and it's hard to know. At least the night that we went, it was hard to navigate because you didn't know where one started and one finished and where to go.
It's not the one long line anymore.
Exactly. No, they're little islands all through the whole place.
I used to love that place. I loved how old it was. It's downtown.
Oh, what are you cackling about over there?
My first experience at Clifton's, dessert went home with me, so I like Clifton's.
Oh, did it? Oh, I see.
Mario.
In a little package. Yeah,
a nibble.
A little doggy bag.
I'll take it to
go. Would this be like the Butcher and Banker in New York City?
No, I actually took my
home. That dessert?
Straight away from me. Well, yes, it was. Mine just rode home with me. It didn't visit me the next day.
Mario. Hi, Mario.
The gifts that keep on giving.
Uh-huh.
Right. Talking of sort of dirty places, what's the restaurant place on Bourbon Street across from Cafe Lafitte?
Clover Grill?
The Clover Grill.
I love the Clover Grill.
The Clover Grill is so filthy.
I don't know what
the grease on the floor is more than in the pan.
Then you needed to go to the Hummingbird so that you could compare.
Oh, wow. I like the Clover Grill.
I love the Clover. I think their food is great.
Their food is good. It's just, it just really needs to be burned to the ground and rebuilt to get rid of the grease.
Shame on you. We're not friends anymore. With the chicken and pastry conversation, it is definitely happening.
And I should complain about that when the things I did across the street at Cafe Lafitte made the Clover Grill look clean.
Spit in my mouth.
And call me dumb. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. It is just about time for Goldilocks to make a reappearance. Well, she isn't in an empty glass, so.
It's true.
Well, I think we're going to have to wind it up this week, children.
As my Aunt Lucy used to say, my ice cubes are dry.
And I think I ate my ice cubes.
Let's toddle.
Fun one.
Let's toddle.
All right. See y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, y'all. So, we talked about dinner and supper. So, if you think y'all know better, we would love to hear about it. However you want to tell us, you can find us on Queer Magnolias on Twitter or at Queer Magnolias Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Head to our comment section, send us a message. And if you want to hear more of us, check us out on Spotify or anywhere else you find your podcast.